I don't remember the first Sunday I was here. I know it was warmer. It's been several weeks, September, October, I don't, whenever I started, I don't recall. But I remember my first sermon. I'm not preaching yet, just wait. My first sermon, I said, how do I get into this text? And it was a first-person sermon, and someone said, I got into it after a while, realized what you were doing. And I'm going to do that again today. So just to give you a heads up, I'm going to be Elizabeth. Elizabeth was old, and I'm old. The rest is up to your imagination. The scripture will actually begin a little bit earlier than what will be shown on the screen. Do you have it on the screen today? And it will be the birth of Jesus as experienced in the lives of both Elizabeth and Mary. It's a long reading, so we're dividing it up so you may see it and hear it as we experience this great text from the New Testament today. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?"
And the angel said to her, "Lord will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judea, town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and claimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you, young woman, and blessed is the fruit of your wombs. And why has this happened to me, that a mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. For mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has shattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lonely. He has filled the hunger with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. So ends the reading of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Told you I was. Yeah. I'm low tech. Am I on now?
You're on. We can hear you now.
My name, Elizabeth, cousin to Mary. We are both part of the Christmas story. Two women, one old, one young. I had prayed for a child all of my life, all of my life. Honestly, I had prayed every day, and I was barren. I was barren, no child. And then I stopped praying because, well, I knew I was too old to have a child. I stopped praying. I thought I was too old to have a child. And then it happened. It was foretold to my husband, who went into the temple and had a vision of a child being born to us. And that this child would be special. This child would be full of the Holy Spirit. This child would turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord. You can't imagine how much joy that gave both of us, a child like that. And we would name him John, the angel said. We would name him John. You know him as John the Baptist. That was his function for God in the world. Well, Mary also is part of this story, isn't she? My cousin Mary. I'm old, she's young. When she was about 10 years old, she had her eyes on this handsome, strong young man by the name of Joseph. And actually, she was over the moon about him every time she saw him. And when she was told by her parents that they had arranged for her to be Joseph's wife, she was mad with joy. She had her eyes on him all those years. You see, in your culture, people fall in love and they get engaged. But in my culture, you get engaged by your parents, and then there's a time when you have to fall in love. But there are strict rules. Mary was very devout. Joseph was very devout. And there were strict rules about this kind of betrothal, this kind of engagement. And so when we hear that Mary was of child, that she was pregnant, I can assure you that there was no other man and that it was not Joseph. Now, some people have a hard time believing in a virgin birth. Actually, there are great theologians who have doubted that it was ever possible, a virgin birth. Impossible. But you and I probably don't have difficulty in believing it. I mean, isn't life just full of mystery? Isn't life full of miracle? All kinds of things happen that can't be explained by the great minds of this world. And the angel said to Mary, with God, nothing's impossible. And so Mary accepted the gift. And then she came quickly to my house to visit me. I was 6 months pregnant. And when I heard her voice coming up the path to my house, this baby inside kicked like a Missouri mule. I mean, he really kicked. It was like he leaped inside me for joy when he heard Mary's voice. And when Mary saw me, when she came to the door and I looked in her face, she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Isn't that a wonderful thing to feel, to be able to say? Will you be able to say that this Christmas? I would that all of us would be able to make that kind of affirmation of faith, because God is also, Christ is also, the fullness of God's love in Christ is also in us. I don't mean physically like Mary, but I mean God, Christ, the fullness of God's love in Christ is in us. What a wonderful Christmas it will be when all of us will be able to say, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Well, Mary, she was only 15 years old. People got wed young in those days. Mary couldn't read or write, but she was smart. She grew up in a home in which the scriptures were read old. She grew up in a culture in which the stories of God's marvelous way in the world with people was recounted over and over again. And Mary would listen to a story once, maybe twice, and she would be able to give it back practically word for word. She was young, but she was full of understanding. She was full of wisdom. She understood God's way in this world for us. And then she began to say what we have come to know as the Magnificat. It's been put to music. In fact, it's one of the 8 oldest hymns in the Christian church, the Magnificat. Not only is it beautiful music to be sung, but it's sung every day of the year. Every year, every month, it's being sung somewhere in some church around the world. It's sung every day. Tomorrow, the next day, there will be a church, there will be a choir somewhere in the world. It never stops. It's the song that never stops. It's being sung forever and ever by God's people around the earth. Mary understood what God was doing, and so she sang. She gave the words to us. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And as that song unfolds, as those words unfold, we are given to see what God is about. What God has always been about through sacred history. What God is about at Christmas. And what God is about in all the worlds and years and eons to come. This world is doomed. It cannot last. But what Mary sang is the Christmas message and the message for all time. And what she sang was, the proud are scattered. The mighty are brought down from their thrones. And the lowly are lifted up. And the hungry are filled with good things. That's what we are called to live in this meantime. We are called to be Christian people now, in a new world that has not yet come, in an old world that is doomed. The world that we live in will not last. Its values will not endure. It will not stand forever. There is a new world coming, and it will last forever. And Mary saw it. She sang it. The proud will be scattered. The mighty will be brought down. The lowly will be lifted up. And the hungry will be filled with good things. That's the Christmas we are called to, isn't it? Not just at Christmas, but that's the definition of our lives. This is why we were put on earth. This is why God created each one of us and breathed the breath of life into us. This is why we became a living person, a human being. To be Christmas people. To be people of the Magnificat. Who love the unlovely. Who bring home the lost. Who heal the hurting. Who befriend the lonely. This is the new world that Mary celebrates, that we affirm, that we claim. And so the purpose of our lives is right there. Do you hear it? Do you see it? Do you get it? We are to live in this world in such a way that every human being that we encounter in life is worthy. There are no throwaway people. Every person that we encounter in life is loved by God as much as God loves us. Every person that we encounter in life is of value. We are to respond to that and live that as Christmas people every day of our lives. Yet, if you follow the story closely, you will have noticed that when Gabriel said to Mary, you're going to have a child. We wait for Mary to answer. One great theologian said that in that pause from when the angel said, nothing is impossible with God, to Mary's response, that all of heaven was breathless, silent, waiting. What will Mary say? The angel is telling her, God is in you. And we wait to hear what Mary will say. And we call her blessed and we will call her blessed forever. Because Mary then said, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Or as one translator put it, and I like this a whole lot, he translated those words a little more freely this way: "I belong to the Lord, body and soul." Can you say that this Christmas? Because that's all we need. That's all the Christmas any of us will ever need. I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Amen.